Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
Thank you, Jeremy, for our prelude this evening before the radio picked us up. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we, the Church of Jesus Christ, till tomorrow, January 6th, Epiphany, we say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
There we are. Now, if we were Orthodox, we'd wait till tomorrow to say Merry Christmas, because Christmas for them is January 6th. For us is Epiphany. So, little bit of difference. A lot of announcements. I'm going to try to subdivide them between now and offering. Good news, bad news. Good news, Donna Taylor is home as of the end of last week. That is good. Good news and mixed news. Scott Pike had his surgery on his foot. He is here tonight. Bill Price came into sanctuary this morning. Virtually nobody here but four of us and the Holy Spirit. And he says, you know, there's a rumor going around in Imlay City, the chief of police, you can get away with crime over there because he can't do anything to run and chase you. He hobbles.
Oh, okay.
Use electronics, go ahead. That's why they have young police officers. So we're glad Scott has done well so far in the surgery. He has to continue to obey the doctor. And he came in, for those who know Scott, on his crutches. And he alludes to the fact it's a wonderful exercise technique to build up your mid-core, correct? That's a tough way to do it. So good to have you, Scott. Bad news. For those on email or Facebook, you know that one of our fellowship of this congregation who attends the 10 o'clock service, Sandy, had an overnight fire in her apartment of four units. I understand it's in the Times Herald newspaper this morning. Immediately, she was displaced, obviously, due to the fire. So she called Tony Gaines, another member at the 8:30 service, and Tony went over and picked her up and brought her into her home. I hope a lot of us would have done that same flexible thing to be available to one of us in need. So thank you very much. She is still residing there. Filter communications and responses of deeds of kindness and love for her through Tony or myself or the church office. So Sandy is right now being overloaded. First day, you're on adrenaline and shock. And a little bit of comfort when she found her cat, when she revisited the apartment with Tony mid-morning, and the cat came to her, so that made her feel better. But now's the processing, when all you lost. So today is kind of inundated with all that data and try to sort through all the chaos of one's life. She doesn't have a secondary home. She has to find housing. She is starting with very little. The damage didn't do a lot of property damage except for the smoke inhalation and all the debris that the smoke puts on over all your contents. We are trying to find a pathway to make it easy for Sandy to find alternative housing, find resources of St. Clair County, Port Huron, give information to myself, Bill Price, and we'll try to sort through where we can go on this one to allow Sandy to get some beginning of normalcy in her life. You know, to be a single person, no children, no spouse, in the community, and not exactly wealthy. She had no fire insurance. So some of you have brought gifts. We were receiving monetary cash deposit back there. If you just put it in the basket, so indicated, that'll go for her. We will keep an accounting how much we have received and then distribute it with no paperwork or obligation of government or all those kind of things. So that is taking place this morning. We'll talk about in-house kind of things. Between services, just for the benefit of those listening from Our Savior on radio, we have the anniversary committee meeting at 9:30 this morning. This is not a committee you're elected to. This is not a committee you're appointed to. This is a committee you elect to be part of. So if you have ideas and desires for this 100 plus 101st anniversary of Our Savior, please come to that meeting or submit in writing your ideas, okay? That's absolutely important, okay? We're here to worship our God. For those on radio, being part of the Christmas season, we celebrate Eucharist this first Sunday of the month. So if you'll please rise, we begin with confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God. Love from the beginning. Word made flesh, breath of heaven. Amen. Let us confess our sinfulness before God and one another, trusting in God's endless mercy and love. Merciful God, we confess that we are not perfect. We have said and done things we regret. We have not tried to earn redeeming grace while denying it to others. We have resisted your call to be your voice in the world. Forgive us, loving God. Give us your righteousness, the strength to put aside our failures, and the courage to try again. Amen. Dear people of God, hear the good news. Christ the Savior is born. You are loved. You're forgiven in the name of Jesus, who has come among us. You are freed from proving that you deserve to be loved, because God's love is given to you as the most precious gift of all. Rejoice in this love. Share it with the world. Amen. Our entrance is, Him is Son of God, Eternal Savior. We sing.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hymn of praise on two pages is Shout to the Lord. We sing. The Lord be with you. If you'll join me in a prayer for this day, page 6. We pray. Almighty God, you have filled all the earth with the light of your incarnate word. By your grace, empower us to reflect your light in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. First reading by Kay Price. And to be followed by Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
God promises to bring Israel back to its land from the most remote parts of exile. In Zion, Israel will rejoice over God's gift of food and livestock. Young women will express their joy in dancing. God will give gladness instead of sorrow. The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 7 through 14. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, together. A great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion. And they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kate. And Bill, second reading.
The second reading for this Sunday is from the first chapter of Ephesians, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in his beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as he planned for the fulfillment of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption of God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Bill. If you're able to stand for the gospel, for the acclamation, which we'll speak together. Together we speak. Hallelujah. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Alleluia. The text for today's gospel, from the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 18. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Through him, not one thing came into being that was, you know, was without him. Not one thing came into being. What had come into being in him was life. The life was the light of the people. The light shines in the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify to that light, so that all might believe through John. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, for the true light, which enlightens everybody, was coming into this world. He was in the world. The world came into being through this light, this word, yet the world did not know him. He came to what were his own people, and his own people didn't even accept him. But to all who have received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not by blood, nor by the will of flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, lived among us. We have seen his glory. It was glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him, and he cried out, "This is he of whom I had said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.'" So from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Nobody has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who has chosen, who is close to the Father's heart, and who has made God known to us. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, God's grace, mercy, and peace
be with us during this, still the Christmas season, and in the condition of this world. Amen. You know, for the last several years, I've chosen to deal with the three lessons. I have chosen this day not to. I know Scott's looking at me. What happened? Because I believe I'm probably one of the only Lutheran pastors around who uses all three texts every Sunday. And I don't apologize for that. The first reading, Old Testament, is always the bridge to the next two readings. We have seen through Advent and Christmas, and today is still Christmas, the promise fulfilled and beginning and dawning 600 years before the birth of Christ, and we know even in our day it's not here completely. Second reading feeds us into the gospel, talking about a preexistence of the divine, the Messiah, the one foretold centuries before his birth among us, and then promised in its fullness of glory in his resurrection. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. 46 years ago, my New Testament class, study of the Gospel of John, part of our combined Greek assignment, an exegetical work of taking every word of these verses. We had to choose this. Well, the choice was the professor says you will do this. That was our choice. You had to dissect all 18 of these verses, verse by verse, in the Greek, and totally slice it apart. What is being said by John? Oh, it's enormous. Doing that task has made me love this text. So when it comes up in a lectionary every 3 years, it's like, oh, I love to embrace that. So let's get into the Word made flesh. I find that for non-believers, check me out on this. Two of the greatest offenses that people say, I can't believe in the God you proclaim or the gospel you say is the good news and the everlasting truth, eternal light. Here they are. Number one, Jesus was God. God is Jesus together. Second offense for people is to be able to say Christ was raised from the dead and we shall be in like fashion. Two extremes with the entrance and exiting and exaltation of Jesus Christ in the ascension. Those are offenses. I mean, the world can handle the fact that Jesus was a teacher. He was a benevolent person. He showed kindness to the poor and showed terror to the rich. But that's not why he's known. There were a lot of philosophers before Jesus. And there have been a lot of good philosophers after Jesus walked this earth. But that's not what made him distinct. We know, as we proclaim during the Christmas season, he had a special birth. And that's, you know, a lot of people choke still about the virgin birth and how can that be? And that was the question Mary asked before they did. How can this be? I haven't slept with a man. How do I get pregnant? Oh, don't worry. Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Oh, right. How many men have tried to use that one as an excuse ever since? No, it's not credible. It does not happen in science. It is unusual. It's a break in norm of the way we come upon this planet in our birthing. His was different. Hold that one, because people trip over that because they can't accept it. Because to accept that also implies with it, if his origin is different, what is the difference? And that's where John comes in. In the beginning, that phrase should immediately tell you, if you know your Old Testament, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. John is recalling up within the heart of Jews and those who have converted to Christianity and know something about Judaism, God is creator. This reference point in the beginning is not accidental, not because he just liked the alliteration or some special literary quality. It's because he's referencing the very creation. You and I know Jesus, the man, born and walked the streets of Bethlehem, Nazareth, Jerusalem, and all the outlying territories, proclaiming the kingdom of God and displaying, like many times, the reflection of the editorial statements of the gospel writers. In many and various ways, he displayed God's work in this world and showed us by his words and his deeds what he was doing, not just teaching. He was God doing it among us to show us how to do it. In so doing, as he does these things, he is not trying to bring glory to himself as much as to reveal the one hidden for all ages. And like John's gospel says at the very end of the text, nobody has ever seen God. Not Moses, not Elijah, nobody on earth has ever seen the divine. There's a good reason. There's a reference in the Old Testament. You cannot see God with your sin and ever exist with his holy righteousness. You would be consumed. No human has ever seen him. Then John says, but only the Son, who pre-existed with Dad before his incarnate, his birth in flesh on this earth, has seen his Father. See why that's a troublesome problem for many people? When you and I affirm the creed, it's not a recitation of words, it's an affirmation of faith. Is this what you believe? For this is what the church has confessed and has believed for 2,000 years. God was in Jesus Christ. So as the Gospel of John continues on, it speaks about there are many who have come, even as a reference, all things were made with the presence of, here's the correct Greek word, logos. I'm not trying to impress you. This is what the text is. It doesn't say Jesus. In the beginning, this logos, this word of God, you have to do an Old Testament, New Testament study to get the full grist, and I'll sit down with you and we'll have a class on the Gospel of John. You just can't pick it up and say, no, I don't know what that means. Oh, there's a way to know it, if you want to know it, okay? So, here's the unbundling. The Logos is the wisdom of God. It's the Book of Proverbs, Song of Solomon. It's that reference point that's in Proverbs that speaks about wisdom. It gets personified in the Old Testament, which is kind of unique. And can we say it was feminized in a male culture? How's that one? The wisdom of God was female. How many Jews would have welcomed that revelation of God? They would have choked on that one. No, it's the word of the Lord. This is the wisdom. Of course, all you women know it's feminine, right? Wisdom is feminine. We guys are clueless. Well, that's the rumor. So that word then over centuries finally gets concretized in John's writing. It's just not a nebulous woman that was spoken of in the Old Testament. We're going to name it. We're going to describe it, and we're going to nail the nail on it, Jesus, who will be born among you. We have seen his word. We've seen his presence. And John, when he came the baptizer, he wasn't the word, but he pointed to the word. He was showing, this is the one. Go follow him, he said to his disciples. Follow Jesus. He was not the light. He came to testify to the light. For the true light was coming, now is here, and now has made his mark here. He was in the world, came into being, and the world did not know him. You think, it'd be like, imagine this. You gave birth to kids. You've been trying to instruct them, but you're the kid, you're the parent. And the child says, you're not my dad. You're not my daughter, my mother. You and I, as a population, the world's people, not just individuals, all of us, has said to the parent, "You're not my God. You're not my parent." And Jesus came to his own people. If anybody should have known him, it was the people of the covenant, right? They walked, they taught, they learned, they memorized, they worshiped, but they were clueless. Came to his own people. And they didn't want to believe in him either. What's God's success rate with humanity? 0, 0. Would you have continued the fight for the people? Most of us would have quit. In relationships, it's called unrequited love. I remember the first girl I liked in grade school. Can you remember the first person of opposite gender you had a crush on? And if they didn't return the affection, the attention, you remember how bad you felt? Now multiply it about 20 or 30 billion times. You know what God goes through constantly, with humanity constantly saying, "You're not my God. I don't need you. I can do this all by myself. Get out of my way, God. Let me do it." And when God does, we cry for help. "Lord, I didn't mean it." "Oh, yes, you said it. You meant it." But God is not like that. He knows our situation. He knows our orientation, that sin, disobedience, hard-heartedness, stiff-neckedness, as Moses would describe us. And so we are. You and I, though, were born to be part of that family of God. And notice, I love this, not by blood. That means genealogically, you don't have the DNA of God. A lot of people have misunderstood the Genesis made in the image of God. When I've asked kids to draw me a picture of God, they draw me a humanoid. Because our finite understanding of God. If we're made in the image of God, therefore, we conversely turn it around and say, God must look like us because we look like this. Wrong. We're made in the image of God, made to have a relationship with God, not physical characteristics. If so, you take the passage and Jesus looking around the city of Jerusalem and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I cry for you. How much I would have loved to gather you under my wings like a mother hen." Oh, so God has wings? God is a chicken?
No, God isn't.
It's an expression. It's a simile, a metaphor. It's a technique in grammar. No. And God doesn't have arms or legs. And when it says God looks down from heaven, everybody thinks God's got a spyglass, a computer, some super device to see everybody with his eyes. God doesn't have eyes. God is spirit. We can't comprehend that existence because it's not ours. We're flesh and blood. And that's why flesh and blood will not receive the kingdom of God. Got it? There's worlds apart. But God shows his love for us, that he brings us into this family, familial relationship, not by blood, not by the will of your flesh. Luther makes this perfectly clear in the Reformation, explanation of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, come to believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you grasp that? You see why we don't agree with the Baptists? I didn't make a decision for Jesus. Jesus made my decision before I was even born in the creation. Then it came to me when I was born in my call to be baptized in a relationship with God. This is the continuity of how it comes to me. It is not by my flesh. My decision. It's not by the will of man. You and I as a parent cannot will our kids to be believers. How many tears have been shed by parents wishing their kids lived a different lifestyle, different choices, and remain in the faith community, but the kids made another decision? You and I cannot do it by our will. Will our children to retain and walk in the faith of Christ. So who's it? Whose court does this ball land in? John says, it's the will of God. Boy, does that make you feel powerless? If you don't know what God's will is, you can be really scared. If you know what the will of God is, which is clear in Scripture, it is God's desire that all people should be saved. Not one of them should be lost. Now you see how it concludes. That's his will, for all to be saved. And it goes on to say about grace and truth. He far exceeds Moses. He far exceeds all the other teachers of Judaism, the faith of Israel. For he was the grace. He was the truth. He didn't just expound upon doctrines or theories. Oh, no postulates. No, he was walking on this earth. In him was the fullness of grace, grace upon grace. Nobody has ever seen God, only God, who has revealed the Father's heart to us. When all is said and done on this text, I'm sure you studied and memorized the hymn I put on the December newsletter cover, because every month for 26 years, I put a Christian hymn. I am consistent, if anything. OCD, you could call me. That one was called He's Everything to Me. In a discussion with Scott Pike a couple months ago, I recalled for him this particular hymn. In my Christian formation, I was 21 years old. I had struggled between going into ministry or becoming a lawyer and be wealthy at it and then help God with my help. If I could have heard heaven, I would have heard God laugh. Because there's no way, you know what, I could help God. God was going to help me. In that summer when my high school friends came back to me, now believers, I said, oh, Mike and Tom, you can't possibly be Christians. I knew the life we lived in high school. I said, no, we gave our lives to Christ. I said, a lot of bullrunk. I don't believe it. And God started working on me. Incredibly. Just whittling all this self-centeredness, conceit. And I'm going to do it myself. I don't know if you've ever found yourself there. But I sure was there. In the course of summer Bible studies, before I went back to campus for my senior year, in that transitional phase, this particular hymn hit me right between the eyes, but more importantly, hit me in the heart. Hear the words, I dare not sing it to you. In the stars, his handiworks I see. On the wind, he speaks with majesty. Though he ruleth over land and sea. What is that to me? I will celebrate nativity. After all, we do Christmas, right? For it has a place in history. Sure, he came to set his people free. But what's that to me? Till by faith, I met him face to face. And I felt the wonder of his grace. Then I knew that he was more than just a God that didn't care, that lived away out there. And now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching o'er me lest I stray, helping me to find that narrow way. He's everything to me. I actually got through there without crying, because I was a bundle of tears when that hymn hit me. Because most of us raised in the church, we know all the teachings. We think we got it, and it's like, okay, what else is new? It hasn't hit you then. When it hits you and it grabs you, then you'll realize we have no choice but to surrender. He's everything to me. May the God of grace, revealed as the Word, made flesh and dwelt among us, the very one raised from the dead and gives to us his victory, be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our worship continues with our hymn of the day, "Let Our Gladness Have No End." Having heard the word proclaimed, we affirm our faith. If you'll please rise as able, page 13. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers.
Gathered with all who seek the Christ child, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Holy God, you make your presence known to the church in every land. Give to us a desire and will to support the diverse work of the church throughout the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Generous Creator, in you all things came into being, and without you, not one thing exists. We praise you for the snow and rain that water the earth. Move us to care for the well-being of the work of your hands. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Savior of the nations, you gather in your care people of every age and ability, from lands near and far. Inspire the leaders of our nations to work for peace within their countries and in all the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Saving God, Provide for your people who begin this new year in need. Grant shelter to those who are homeless, comfort to all who are lonely, and a strong sense of your presence to those who are sick. And we remember in our prayers today, Jarrett Lucas, Bev Chittister, Patricia May, Donna Taylor, Sharon Ruff, baby Maya Rastoni, Sandy Smith, the family of Bob Wakeham, the family of Becky Neely, the family of Kristen Murphy's aunt with her passing, the family of Draven Erickson's grandfather with his passing. We also remember those serving our nation, both here and overseas, including Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Sullier, Faye Wright, and those returning from their service and back into our communities. For police officers, firefighters, and all first responders, protect them, Lord, as they protect and serve us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Word of truth, your good news of salvation is proclaimed among us. Bless all who proclaim your word in this community, especially teachers, pastors, deacons, musicians, and lectors. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious one, your light shines in the darkness and it is not overcome. We thank you for the witnesses who have testified to your light. May their lives continue to inspire us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Into your gracious hands we do commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's Church. Some of the announcements I wanted to continue kind of in-house for members and friends of our Savior. This Wednesday, approximately 9 a.m., if you're free, we ask you to come help us to undecorate the sanctuary. 9 a.m. Wednesday, please do. This week, all classes resume. That is tomorrow night, the Oracle with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. I pause with that name because I got a Facebook message from his website this morning, an email letter, indicating a news article which he forwarded that Israel is worrying because of what's taking place in the Middle East. There are warships outside of their country from Russia, Iran, and other parties, Arab, who would like to see Israel destroyed, Allah. They never wanted it born in 1947. Watch your news. This may be showdown. Who knows? Because Israel, if it's under assault, like the Six-Day War, Israel beat the pants off of the Arab nations in 6 days. Outnumbered, outmaneuvered, and they were victorious. God prevailed. Who knows what this crazy world is doing? Choices made. It's not political, it's survival and understanding. It's understanding what's taking place. So many things. Again, remind those, there is a committee meeting for the anniversary of this congregation following the service time. Next Sunday, on your calendar, save the date, January 12th. We're having a potluck downstairs. It will be a luncheon. We need you to bring a dish hot, salad, vegetable, or dessert. We will provide KFC chicken and maybe something else on the side, hot dish. So that will take place. For what occasion? Saying farewell and Godspeed to our organist of at least 10 years now, Jeremy Jones, his wife, Katie, and his daughter. So we do that next Sunday, January 12th, after the 11 o'clock service. Okay, got that down. There are many other things coming at us I will feed you with more information. You've got servers. You've got calendar through last week's e-letter. If you're not electronically connected and you do have access through pad, phone, or computer, please give it to us, send it to us, and we will connect you, because there's so much information weekly being pumped that you're not going to see in a January hard copy newsletter, okay? Donna possibly may not be back in the office for at least 1 month. I've already been doing my portion for this secretarial function. There are only so many hours, and thank God for Marcia and Doug Cole, because they did a lot for us in the office this week, putting this bulletin assembly in it. So we are calling in all the chips that we can get, but you got to understand that's more decisions for me to make, who's going to do what, without getting confused and overlapping. I don't want to waste people's volunteer time. So we'll sort it out and we'll see how Donna does. We're going to give Donna as much as she wants to do and is able to do at home. Okay, so we're going to keep her totally in the loops. Many other things. Please read, respond. Our service continues. Offering presented. Please rise. We sing an older version of an offering of this congregation. Created me.
Pray. Generous God, you have given us life, this community, and these gifts of the earth that become the meal of your grace. Move in our hearts that we might use your gifts to bring hope and blessing wherever we go. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your heart. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It's right to give our praise and grace.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So after the meal, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." So with this bread, with this cup, we remember our Lord's presence as well as the Passover, from his death to life, as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. So let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father. God's love for all people. Come and eat, for Christ invites you. Thanks be to God. Come, we sing during the distribution. Let me wash my hands. This is the body of our Lord for you, Christian. This is Christ's blood shed for you, my dear.
Take and drink.
We pardon our Lord's peace.
Amen.
Welcome to the Lord's table.
Welcome.
At this moment, Jeremy and myself shall commune.
The body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
Receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By his death and resurrection, he has made full satisfaction for all of your sins. Depart in our Lord's peace.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.